and thanks for downloading this episode of the Artwood Podcast. My name is Jenny Danielson, and in this episode, we will listen to me and Justin Jorgensen in a rambling, long conversation about life and Dapper and the Dapper Day outings at Disneyland and LACMA. I did send everything off to my editor, Eric, and he really liked it. So we decided to keep it the way it is. It's not edited. It's 45 minutes long, and it's just amazing. So do please sit down and follow the conversation.
Yes, I think this wine is lovely.
It is very good, isn't it?
And not too acidic.
Because that would be terrible.
I think it's just charming. Hopefully the piano won't be too loud when it begins again.
You know what? Right now it's absolutely perfect.
Okay.
Yeah?
Well, great.
So you were going to say something. Let's jump right into that. You were going to say something about what? I can't remember. Sorry.
What was I going to talk about? Well, not to sound too, I don't know, concerned and anxiety inducing already so early in this interview, but you know, I had this idea for this organization called Dapper Day, and that ended up taking over my life and ended up sort of temporarily, I would hope, just sidelining other things I was doing, which was mostly artworks and ideas for other artworks, art projects that I had in the pipeline. And so, yeah, those have all come to a bit of a standstill at the moment as I'm trying to rush to get everything related to Dapper Day and that organization up to speed and get that fully staffed. I mean, that it's just been a train that left the station and just keeps going faster and faster. And so I'm just chasing after it to try and, keep laying down track in front of it. Mm-hmm. So, but I guess I should start at the beginning, huh?
Well, I think we need to start with Dapper, this wonderful world. It's a word, sorry.
That's
Dapper. I think it's a very good start because it means preferably a man, I think.
It's not actually gender specific.
Oh, very good.
Well, at least from the readings I've done of it. But I'll tell you, here's the deal. So, I have a lot of ideas. I've come up with a lot of ideas. One of those ideas was that I thought, wouldn't it be cute? Wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it be fun to have an opportunity to really celebrate style? Celebrate one's own personal style in a way that felt comfortable. It wasn't drawing attention to yourself. It lets you celebrate your own personal style. So that was one idea. It also dovetailed into this thing where I was working at Disney, designing theme parks. And Disney Imagineering, that's the name for the division of the Disney company that designs all the Disney theme parks. They're known for these just gorgeous concept illustrations of the designs for what would become everything in the Disney parks. And in the beginning, in the early days in the 50s, Disney had recruited many of his really amazingly talented studio staff to create these designs. And I think they were maybe being a bit cheeky in presenting the guests of what would become Walt Disney's parks as being very, very well-dressed when they were wandering through these theme parks. Granted, everyone did seem to be much more dressed up in that period, the 50s and the 60s. But I think Walt's designers and illustrators like John Hench and Herbie Ryman really did take it further and were showing people in these illustrations dressed in a way like they were about to go to the opera or something like that. And I thought, well, gosh, wouldn't it just be fun if we could make those illustrations happen? Because all the buildings, everything else in those illustrations were built. They happened, and they look just as great or better than those original concept artworks. But the people never really looked like that. And so I thought, wouldn't that be fun? And a friend said, you know, well, what would you call it? And I said, oh, that's easy. We would call it Dapper Day. And, you know, that was that. And then I just sat on that idea for nearly a decade because I was busy with other things. And then at some point I went to Disneyland with a couple friends. And they're, you know, I guess fairly stylish friends of mine. We usually dress up when we go out places. And when I showed up at the park and I saw them, they had intentionally dressed down because they didn't want to stand out and they wanted to blend in. And I was really horrified. And I thought, you know, this is not good. This is not a good sign of things to come. And then while we were, you know, having fun in the park, I saw this other couple, and I guess you would call them hipsters at the time. This was like, I don't know, 2010 or so. And they just, you know, it looked like they felt uncomfortable because they were dressed differently from everyone else in the park. And that really, you know, gave me the kick in the pants and said, you know what? We've got to do something because I like dressing up. These people clearly enjoy dressing up. My friends intentionally dressed down because they felt they would be out of place here if they dressed up. So that was it. I said, we're going to do this. We're going to create an organization called Dapper Day. We're going to organize our first outing to Disneyland. We're going to encourage everyone, people to dress up in, you know, however that is interpreted by them, but with this idea of really celebrating just fun, refined style. And we're not going to be period specific about it because I don't want to try and recreate the past. I want this to be open to everyone. And also, I didn't like events that had a sort of boundaries to them because then it was clear if you were on the inside or the outside. And what I wanted to do was create events where you didn't know where the line was between who was participating and who wasn't. I wanted it to just sort of blur at the edge. So you just felt this magical change in the atmosphere and in the way that people were presenting themselves. You know, like if you did something like where, I don't know, like, oh, it's, you know, everyone wear red or something, then it's like, it's really clear, like, okay, who got the memo and who didn't? And then if you didn't get the memo, you show up and you feel weird. And that's, you know, I didn't want to create a division like that or a boundary of, you know, who got the info and who didn't. So that was the idea behind it. I got it going. This, you know, with just a little bit of internet promotion, we made the event happen. It was the first outing to Disneyland. It was in the winter of 2011. My idea was to make it an annual outing. I wanted to do it in the winter because I wanted the park to be in a real neutral setting. I didn't want any sort of holiday decor to be in anyone's photos. I also wanted it to be the coldest time of year so everyone could wear as many layers as possible. What happened was about 100 people came. And when the photos got online, everyone freaked out and said, oh my God, this looks like so much fun. This is, you know, what a great idea. I want to do it again. Let's do it next week. And I could see I was really quickly going to lose control of this. And so I said, hang on, everyone. Okay, we'll do this again in the fall. And then we'll do it again in the spring. So we'll start doing this now every 6 months. And we'll do a spring and a fall outing to Disneyland. Now, it had always been my idea to, you know, branch beyond this and find other locations to have Dapper Day outings to. But Disneyland just seemed like a great way to start. Like, it's a great location. It's so rich in its design. And it's an environment. It's color. It just lends itself towards taking photos and having a great day with your friends and meeting other people. It's just the most perfect location. So we did that. The first event, like I said, about 100 people came. The next event, that would have been fall 2011, 450 people came. The next outing to Disneyland, spring 2012, about 1,100 people came. And then fall 2012, 4,500 people came. And then that would have been spring 2013. Over 10,000 people came, and then we sort of lost count after that. And the only way that I know how many people came was because we organized like these sort of in-part gatherings. We would say, hey, in the afternoon at 2 o'clock, let's all meet and let's ride the paddle boat together, the Liberty Bell, is it called the Mark Twain? I'm getting my parks confused. In Florida, I think it's the Liberty Bell. In California, it's the Mark Twain. And we knew the capacity of those boats, and so I could count how many people, you know, got on and how many times we filled it. And then in the evening, we would have a gathering at the carousel. And I believe the Disneyland carousel holds 72 people, so we could count, like, how many times did we fill that carousel? But yeah, we quickly outgrew all of that. And then at one point, Disney called me, because the park, reached capacity, and they had to post a notice saying that if you left the park, we can't guarantee that you're going to get back in. And so they contacted me and said, you know, how many people came? And I said, I don't know. It's your park. How many people do you think came? And they said, well, you know, well, by our estimates, that was, you know, between 25 and 30,000 people. And I said, well, you know, that sounds about right. And so, anyway, that is how everything got going with our Dapper Day outings to Disneyland. Since then, we expanded. We now have Disney Park outings to the parks in Florida as well as Paris. We also expanded to add a two-day Dapper Day Expo that happens at the Disneyland Hotel here in California in Anaheim. That happens with every spring and fall event. And that's just a big, fun marketplace that celebrates refined style from yesterday and today with a wide variety of vendors dealing in everything from vintage fashion to just contemporary, maybe vintage repro styles, as well as just a whole range of accessories. And I mean, we have men's barbers and, of course, great bands. And so there's dancing. We'll even have seminars at the one coming up with different style related subjects. But the fun, exciting part has been also expanding into more cultural events like outings to museums like LACMA or the Natural History Museum of Los Angeles County here in LA. Also, February 1st of this year, we're doing our first event with the Los Angeles Philharmonic. And then last year in early 2018, I'm losing track of what year we're in, we had our first event with LA Opera. So I love doing these cultural non-Disney events. I like being able to take our following, this audience, and have us go to other locations that maybe they haven't explored before, and being able to dress up and have fun doing it. I feel like I just gave a long monologue.
That was a very good monologue.
That was completely uninterrupted.
No,
I'm so
sorry. No, that was very good. Because I am going to go to the event at LACMA.
Uh-huh.
Because I have actually never been to Disneyland here in California. But so what would you say is the main ingredients? So is it that people have to think about when they wake up in the morning what they are going to wear? Because I can't actually remember how I got the information about this. Probably online somewhere, and I immediately thought about what dress to wear, and I contacted my friends, like, what are you going to wear, can I borrow that one from you, would you do my makeup, because it becomes an event and you go with friends and you take a lot of time just to think about what to wear.
Yeah,
which is so much fun.
Yeah, I mean, I'll say,
I love
you know
that.
I think
so, but But uh-huh. So that's one thing, that you show up and you must wear something that you feel very comfortable in. You want to feel a bit different to what you do probably on a regular Tuesday. Going into work, you just want to wear something spectacular that you would not necessarily wear on Tuesday going to work.
I mean, that's, you know, what I think makes events like these really fun is it gives you an opportunity to wear something that you want to wear, but maybe don't have the confidence to wear day to day because you feel like, oh, I'm going to be the only one. Everyone's going to be looking at me. And these events give you an opportunity to do that without feeling strange, because everyone else is also dressed up in that dress that they really wanted to wear but never found a reason to. And I think what makes me so happy about the way people are participating in these events is you really realize the huge disconnect that there has been with the fashion industry and reality, in that there's so many garments being pushed on us in billboards and ads here and there. That people love and they find them gorgeous, but they say, you know, where would I wear that? And the reality is, you know, so much of our culture has gone so casual. Everyone apparently has had a fear of asking people to dress up, or the association with dressing up being sort of stuffy, that everyone has been in a rush to go casual. I mean, even the Museum of Natural History of LA County here, they now have their entire staff wearing t-shirts, you know, and I believe even LA Opera had their staff in much more casual attire. And I remember LA Opera telling me about how, you know, so much of their promotional campaign over the past several years has been to let people know they don't have to dress up to come to the opera. And I thought, no, like, what are you doing? The whole, this, like, you know, believe it or not, people do want to dress up. They want a reason to wear these outfits. You know, they want a reason to buy these outfits. And when you think about when and why we dress up in contemporary American culture, I know a lot of people think it's not fun, but if you think about why, you get to the answer. And it's because so many of the times that you're dressing up, it's because of what? Oh, a wedding, a funeral, a graduation. You know, in all three of those examples, yeah, you're dressing up, but you don't want to be the focus.
No, and it's a very formal occasion.
Yes.
That's the way in which you dress for a wedding. And so it says on the invitation card.
Yeah, because you don't want to upstage the bride.
No, of course
you don't want to upstage the person in the casket. No. You don't want to upstage the person graduating. No. And so it's like, okay, you know, so those events are sort of, you know, out. And then you think of, you know, well, when you're going out at night, it's like, well, that's black. You're going to wear something black. You're going to wear something, you know, where, you know, you want to look sexy. You want to look attractive. You're not wearing a floral print, you know.
Most likely not.
And so you find out you know, or you have work events that's like this sort of cocktail casual. You never really get opportunities to wear like that fun party dress, a floral print, colors, you know, bold patterns, like men, like when, you know, you don't get to wear a suit of a color or of a, you know, a bold plaid or something, because just every occasion is calling for, you know, elegant but restrained, or elegant but let someone else be the focus. And so, you know, and just about all these events are at night. Like we rarely have anything during the daylight where you can see color. And so all of these come into play, you know, where then someone like me says, hey, we're doing something. It's all day long. It's in the daylight. It's in the afternoon. It's a bunch of other people. You can just be the focus of your own ensemble. You don't have to worry about, you know, upstaging someone else. And that really just lets people say, oh my gosh, here we go. This is what I've wanted to do. Yeah.
Is there such a thing as dressing over the top?
Yeah, I mean,
is that possible?
I suppose it's possible to dress over the top. I mean, Lady Gaga would know all about that. But I think, you know, the thing that I'm most interested in is people being able to dress in a way where where their attire is, you know, their biography in a way, where their attire is their own conversation starter. Because I believe it's Tom Ford, you know, said at some point in some interview I saw, that dressing up is an act of respect for other people, because you are acknowledging that you are in other people's visual field, and you are, you know, saying, I know that you are seeing me, therefore I'm not going to look terrible. I'm going to look pleasing to your eye. What I have found that happens in our events is in that act of saying, I am going to dress in a way where I know I'm being looked at, opens a channel where other people then know that they can approach you and say, oh my gosh, that looks so amazing. What, you know, where did you get that hat? Where do you get those shoes? I love your outfit. Did you make this? Where is this from? And if the other person is dressed up too, then, you know, this immediately starts a dialogue. And so what we found, you know, with our Disneyland events in particular is just people won't even go on the rides. Everyone is just hanging out because everyone is just talking to everyone else. And it changes the dynamic. It changes the experience so much. Whereas normally when you're going to Disneyland or a museum or wherever, you are keeping to yourself and you really wish no one else was around you. You know, you go to Disneyland and you say, wow, I'd be having fun if there was just no one else in line in front of me. Well, and that's because you're really all broadcasting that you don't want to talk to anyone else. Mm-hmm. You've dressed for your comfort, and that is, you know, as far as your concern has gone. When you change that and say, no, actually, I'm here to be part of the decoration. I'm here to be part of your experience. It opens everything up, and everyone starts talking to everyone else. And that's the number one feedback I've got from guests about these events is they say, oh my God, I've been to Disneyland 100 times, but I never had an experience like I did during your Dapper Day outing, because everyone was talking to everyone else and I made so many friends and I got to know so many people. And, you know, I mean, that there's, I guess that's magic. I don't know what else to say about that.
I think it's magic. But so you've been in contact with LACMA. And how has that been? Because this is a museum. We know there's security in place.
Yes.
We know that you're not allowed to go too close to painting or whatever. How has that whole process been of having a museum to talk with and to negotiate things with? Because it's very informal in that you don't need a special ticket.
Yes. Yeah.
It doesn't cost more to get in to be a part of this event?
No, whenever I can, I try and organize events in a way that allow for our followers of Dapper Day to mm-hmm. be integrating and mixing and mingling with whatever the normal audience would be. So yeah, LACMA had reached out to me, which was funny because I'd been reaching out to LACMA for about 2 years because I saw that they had a menswear exhibit coming down the pipeline and I thought, oh my gosh, this would be perfect. We have to partner with them and get everyone in there to see this. They eventually had the same idea and reached out to me. And so that was our first partnership with LACMA, was when they had the Reigning Men menswear exhibit. Unfortunately, it did turn out to be about 110 degrees that day. But
which is unfortunate if you're in a suit.
Yeah. So that was a little rough. But it's, you know, we can't hold Dapper Day outings anywhere. People want us to. We get requests from institutions all over the place wanting us to hold events there. And, you know, I try and explain that we're not a pretty people canon. We don't just, you know, blast it out there and say, hey, everyone, dress up and go to this location. It doesn't work that way. A lot of locations just don't lend themselves to the sort of atmosphere that we want. But LACMA has a very large and varied campus in terms of the buildings, the history of the buildings, the style of the buildings, the way you flow through them, as well as the grounds themselves. So you really have a great sense of place, and I mean, can I say we have a bit of a sense of history here in LA, going all the way back to the 60s? And so those are some of the elements that are really needed for what I feel to be a successful Dapper Day event is you need to feel a connection to the architecture and the space itself. It can't, you know, I've looked at Griffith Park. There's no place really in Griffith Park where I feel you have a sense of place. I'd love to hold an event with the Getty. I think the Getty has a real great, although it's a very contemporary architecture, the choice of materials I find very grounding.
Oh, yes.
And timeless.
And the gardens.
Yeah, the gardens.
The grounds are amazing.
And the green space, I feel very much, feels like the Tuileries or a European park space made for lounging and socializing.
Just the way you stroll down.
Yes.
And you sort of make your way from the one building to the other.
Yeah.
It's very, very good.
Yeah. So that's on my radar. Mm-hmm. But, I should say, part of all of this is, this isn't a new creation all that much. I mean, yeah, I came up with this idea, but this is all really rooted in the European pleasure gardens, really starting in the late 1500s, 1600s and beyond, like with Vauxhall Gardens, in London, where that was really sort of the dawn of a theme park in a way. What's going on with our events, especially our Disneyland and our Disney theme park outings, is very much continuing that tradition of a moment where everyone, because it those pleasure gardens, Vauxhall Gardens, was open to anyone who could pay the admission, and you would get dressed up and you would come, and it was a huge social gathering, a melange of all levels of society. And everyone wanted to see, well, partly they were coming, for the music, which is, something we can't even really conceive of today, that you can't just have music, whenever you want it. So, so you're going for the music, which is still, of course, a huge part of, any amusement park, theme park, Disney park experience. But what has changed with the Disney parks is they're no longer about meeting other people. They're about you going with your friends and family and having that isolated experience. My Dapper Day events changed that dynamic to go back to more of the roots of what a pleasure garden was about, where it's about everyone who's there interacting with each other and enjoying the space together.
Well, yeah, because in those days, it would have been, like you said, anyone can come in if they can pay the fee.
Yep.
But it would also be very new that you have something like a day off.
Yes.
In itself, just having that wardrobe where you have one dress that's nicer than the other.
Yeah, it was the beginning of having a sort of...
It's the beginning of the middle classes.
Exactly. The beginning of... You had like a merchant class for the first time. You had, shopkeepers and so on, and people who were the closest to what I guess you might say modern society now, where and they just like us, we're really beginning to explore and enjoy that, and I think that what I find so charming about the lineage of Dapper Day outings to Disney parks to its roots with the Vauxhall Pleasure Gardens was this element of taking an experience that used to be exclusively the domain of royalty or high society that had grand estates where you could throw a big ball or a huge party on your estate grounds. Vauxhall, and these pleasure gardens were meant to emulate that in a way, the experience of being able to have that kind of a party, but on a sort of public space. And you see that now, I mean, there's a freaking castle in the center of the Disney park that isn't by accident. Oh, this idea that you're experiencing a bit of royalty, and that glamour, you know, here you are a commoner being allowed on the grounds, on the castle grounds for a day. That existed in the 16, 1700s, and that's still much of the charm of the Disney parks today.
And it is something wonderful just about being in that dream, or maybe being in a castle. Mm-hmm. Just being in that fantasy, wearing that beautiful dress. It is great.
Well, and, you know, and I should say, in that period, you know, of the dawn of these pleasure gardens, we were already having fake castles and fake, you know, follies and fantasies and, you know, pagodas and chinoiserie, or, you know, this orientalism, these ideas of the exotica, which today, you know, manifests itself as the Adventureland in the different Disney parks. Those ideas began then. I mean, even everything from fireworks shows, going on a balloon ride, which you can still do in Walt Disney World in Florida, is pay to go up in a hot air balloon. This was a chief attraction in the 16, 1700s in these pleasure gardens. Maybe not 1600s. I don't know if they were hot air ballooning then, but later.
A bit later, I would say, but still, you know, the same concept. I love it.
Yeah.
So do you think that for an institution like LACMA, I mean, they know what they're good at. They are good at exhibiting art.
Yes.
Various kinds of art.
And, yes.
Still, but that's what they're good at. So how has the discussion been between the institution and Dapper Day? So what is it that you can add that they cannot do themselves?
Well,
because they can open up their galleries. They can put together a really good show.
Yes, I think.
I mean, absolutely.
I mean, as with most of the institutions that we work with, their goal is very much just expanding their audience, letting more people know about what it is they have and what they do. And I think, you know, with our events, it lets people, like, we get to sort of push them over that we give them that final nudge where they've been thinking, oh, you know, I'd like to go to see the LA Phil, or I'd like to go to LACMA, but, you know, I don't really have a reason to. You know, someday I'll do it. And so when we come along and say, hey, on this date, we're all going to dress up, we're going to go there, we're going to do this thing, and we're going to have fun, they say, okay, that's it, I'm going to go on this day. And so that's one of the things I think we get to provide. I mean, I really enjoy being able to share these experiences with my following, which is the Dapper Day following is incredibly diverse, but the one thing we know that they enjoy, that they have in common, is they love doing things together, they love getting dressed up, and they're really interested in you know, having new experiences and going someplace and you know, trying something new. So I like being able to direct their attention to different areas and say, hey, let's, you know, go do this thing over here, or do you know about that? Let's go experience this. And then, of course, in the act of doing that, we have everyone else who's there who didn't know what was going to be going on, and they're saying, why is everyone dressed up? What is this all about? And then they find out about, you know, our organization and hopefully join us next time.
So, do you have, during a Dapper Day outing, would you have, you've already mentioned this, you know, everyone should gather around the carousel at 2 o'clock. Would you have any, is there always that kind of event?
Not exactly. And in fact, with our Disney park outings, we have pulled that back now because so many people come. I mean, over 10,000 people come to those park outings. So,
too many.
Yeah, so we can't tell people, hey, everyone, go meet at the carousel at this time, because it would shut down that entire part of the park. So now we're a little more general with our Disney park outings, and we'll say, you know, We suggest visiting the Mark Twain in the afternoon and the Carousel in the evening, but we won't give a specific time. With our events like our LACMA outing...
How many people do you expect to come?
Oh, gosh. Well, we'll see. You know, I know we're over 2,000 RSVPs right now for this event coming up in just a few days. And last week, in our meeting with LACMA, they said, you know what, stop promoting it. We're over capacity.
Come on, that's great.
So we'll see where we land. I mean, they, you know, out of concern for the art in the spaces, they have a capacity that they want to hold at for those galleries.
What part of the museum is it?
Yes, I should talk about that. So what we're doing is the museum is open all day long during its regular hours. You can access all parts of the campus. Then what we're doing for this special event, for this particular year with LACMA, is the Amundsen Building, which houses part of their permanent collection, which covers the modern collection as well as the European art galleries. That will be closing in February. The European galleries will be closing in February permanently, and then this summer the modern galleries will be closing. And with the idea that then later this year, sometime very soon, that building as well as some of the other original buildings will be demolished to make way for the new campus. So we really wanted to do something to celebrate those buildings and those galleries before they went away. So this event is an after-hours event. The museum closes at 7. Then at 7, the Amundsen Building will remain open for our Dapper Day LACMA event until 10 p.m. And so it will be just those floors within the Amundsen Building. The top floors have already closed, so we missed that. But this will be everyone's last chance to see the European galleries and the modern galleries and those collections in those spaces, you know, until the new building is built.
I'm so much looking forward to this.
I
really am.
It's so, I'm so glad we finally got to do this. The previous three events that we had done with LACMA all focused on a specific temporary exhibit. And I had really been wanting to celebrate their permanent collections. Because I don't think people realize how expansive they were and how amazing they really were. And so I really, you know, made that a big request where I said, can we please, please finally celebrate the permanent collection, especially considering that those galleries and those buildings will be going away. And I don't think a lot of people know that. I mean, it's, you know, not a for sure thing. I shouldn't say that. There's still a few little details that have to happen, but I would say it's like 99% sure.
We've read about it in the newspaper.
Yeah.
So it's kind of out there.
Yeah. And I mean, LACMA has been, you know, working towards this for some years now. So
it's not, but, it's not a secret.
Yeah. Apparently, though, if I'm remembering the details right, it's not official until the final environmental impact report is made, which I believe happens later this spring. And once that is made and everyone gets the final okay, then it's for real and it's happening.
Yeah.
So, and
but,
I mean,
but we're almost there.
Yes.
Yes.
You know, and I'm so conflicted about it. I mean, I love these old buildings, but I do understand that there's all sorts of logistical reasons why they need an enormous amount of maintenance and why a new building really needs to come. But I'm just happy we can have a moment where we can celebrate them. It's like, oh gosh, what's that Japanese woman doing the decluttering show now that everyone's watching? I just watched an episode. I can't remember her name, but she, you know, she does this thing where before you dispose of anything, you just take a moment and you touch it and you thank it and then you let it go. And so I wanted to have that with the Amundsen Building because it's massive, you know, and I don't think people ever really look at it or look up at it. And so it's a William Pereira building, and I just wanted people to have that moment where they can say, okay, I'm going to look at it. I'm acknowledging it. And I am letting you go. And we will welcome the next structure.
I think it will be beautiful. Because we're not going to have drinks, are we, in the actual galleries?
We're not going to have what?
Drinks.
Like cocktails?
Yeah.
No, you won't be able to wander with those.
Everything is still the same.
Yeah.
Same sort of security rules in place.
Yeah. We do have areas where, I mean, we're going to have a DJ, we're having dancing.
Of course. Yeah, sure.
We're having cocktails.
The actual galleries.
But yeah, you won't be able to bring cocktails into gallery spaces, exactly.
I went to the first ever late at Tate.
The late at Lock Tate?
No, sorry about that. Too many people visit late at Tate.
So oh, got
Tate,
it. Yes,
Tate
okay.
Tate Britain had that later on became a real big thing. But I went to their first events and they really didn't have all the security in place yet.
Oops.
So you would sort of have someone leaning against a wall with a beer.
Oh, no.
And like, well, that will not happen the next time.
I was yeah.
Because it was just a bit too open
yeah.
for everyone.
Yeah.
But I like the idea of opening up, especially the museums, for after hours.
Yes.
And for other people. Because I think still that going to the museum, you expect to learn something or it's sort of an experience, like going to a National History Museum. But just going around looking at cultural history, looking at paintings.
Yes.
Still, for a lot of people, that's very weird.
Yeah, and what
we like, this is an interior from 1760. I don't know how to relate to this.
Yeah, well, we've requested that if possible, they keep some docents working late that night,
mm-hmm.
so that
that's probably very good. Yeah,
they're at least around, mm-hmm. and will be on hand to be talking about different pieces and putting pieces in context. I know, you know. People can always be a bit intimidated about work in that way, but there's really no reason to be. I mean, most people don't know anything about this work, you know, so cheers to you if you have the chutzpah to say, tell me about this, you know.
And also just enjoy it.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, if nothing else, you know, many of the pieces are very beautiful, but I love how, you know, an encyclopedic collection like what LACMA has really connects us to our past, our cultural history, and not just one culture, but a very broad range of cultures. And I mean, I just think it's such a joy being able to experience, you know, just wandering and having access to these works. I mean, that's what I've loved so much about LACMA over the years since I've lived here in LA, is I would frequently go on Friday or Saturday nights, and oftentimes I would be one of the only people wandering one of the floors, and I could have it all to myself. And you know, it's just so special being able to have that time alone with these pieces. I hope people really understand that and you know, feel that and embrace that.
I mean, I think in many ways that museums are libraries.
Are what?
Are like libraries.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
I mean, it's the same. This is a collective knowledge, history. Everyone should feel invited to come in and have a look.
Yes. I actually wish museums had longer captions next to most of the pieces. I find myself often looking at more info about works, and I don't know, maybe people find that intimidating, but I think knowledge is power. I like knowing more.
Yeah, and I think it's, well, this is actually something I've been a bit bothered about lately, because mm-hmm. I think some institutions are a bit too hardcore at presenting work, like this is what you see in the picture and this is how it's positioned in the history of art,
yes,
and so on. And that is actually not interesting, because what you can do with the work mm-hmm. on an academic level is not necessarily what's interesting for the person who's having a look
yes.
at it. So you have to be careful not to put yourself on very, very high horses trying to tell the masses
oh, yes.
what they are looking at,
because yes.
that's just a bit pretentious and a bit silly.
Yes, it definitely is. I
mean, there's a very fine line, but just handling out the information, being open about when and how and during the circumstances and so on. But
yes.
I can be very
I don't know. Because I think it's a bit like, you know what? There's so many facets to everything.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many ways to see your work, so many avenues into something. But you're mm-hmm. right. Certain types of information is really, really important.
Yeah. And I mean, it's all part of the big scope challenge of these institutions. How do we get more people and how do we maintain an engagement in these collections? That's, I guess, part of what I have become involved in. But, it's something that institutions all over the world are dealing with right now. Art that lends itself towards selfies, you know, more Instagram appropriate art. What we need more street art to engage with a younger audience. All these strange ideas that institutions are grappling with, you know. And then I come along, I guess, with something a little more simple, which is just like, why don't we just tell everyone to dress up and
just feel good about themselves?